Good evening, everyone. Tonight, our learning is sponsored by Marilyn and Joseph Bench in memory of Marilyn's brothers of Aryeh ben Yaakov Shmuel Zichrono Levracha and Rabbi Sam Vogel in memory of his father-in-law, Aaron Shimon ben Shemaria Zichrono Levracha. Last time, we started at Perek Dalet of the Maseiros Yesharim, B'derech Kenias HaZehiros, and we said that the Ramchal has a three-tiered hierarchy for different ways of acquiring Zehiros, different ways of pursuing self-improvement in line with all of what we've been reading about in the previous chapters, in the previous Brachim. He said that those who are most elite, what he called Shilmei Hada'as, people who have a wholesome and complete, literally wisdom or understanding, obviously it refers to a form of spiritual understanding, are people who will just pursue what's right because it is right, and they don't need any further justification than that. That is sufficient in and of itself, is a sufficient motivator on its own. But there are others as well who he says will need other forms of motivation. So tonight we'll talk about the second tier, and then next time we'll talk about the third tier, and then we'll discuss maybe some other themes in this long Perek Dalet, which is actually a very long Perek, before we move on to Perek Hay. So what is the second tier that he describes? The second tier appears, again, in my version on page Chaf Gimel, in the bottom paragraph, where he describes lepechusim me'ela. He says, ach lepechusim me'ela. However, for those who haven't reached that elite spiritual height, the top tier of the hierarchy. They should start thinking about, what should they start thinking about? What are the havchanos or havanos that they should have in order to pursue self-improvement? They should think about the kavod, the honor that they covet, that will be bestowed upon them. He says that, look, the way things are going to work in the Olam HaEmes is that the reward that you receive will be commensurate with what you do. So if you lead a life of selflessness and of Torah and of mitzvos, then you're going to achieve an elite, supreme, very high level. And if you lead a life of decency, everything is just, again, commensurate to the choices that you make and the life that you choose to lead. He says, then how can you possibly give up on capitalizing on the opportunities that you have to maximize your stature or status in the Olam HaEmes if you know that at a certain point you're going to desire it, but at a certain point it will be too late. You'll no longer be able to do anything practically to impact your standing. Now, if you look at this and just read it on a superficial face value level, it seems rather shallow. It's all about kavod. It's all about hierarchy. Those are things that we ordinarily associate with Olam HaZeh, not with Olam HaBa. Right? The social hierarchies that we have, all sorts of artificial ways of ranking human beings on different levels, that doesn't seem like something that should really be a motivator. But I think there's something that really just lurks beneath what the Ramchal is saying, beneath just the surface level or the surface reading of the text. And I think it's something that very much speaks to our community in particular. And by our community, I'm referring to, I guess, the broader modern Orthodox, Yeshiva Day School, RCA, Yeshiva University, whatever term you want to use. Our community that I guess we here in B'nai Yeshurun very much exemplify. And as is usually the case, I'll demonstrate it by a conversation that I had in the past. Last time I spoke about a conversation that I had with fellow educators and with students. This time I'll talk about a conversation that I had with a parent. And this conversation that I had with a parent is a standard feature now of Avodas HaKodesh in the modern Orthodox world. It's something that every educator and every pulpit rabbi has had. It was a question about going to Israel to study for a year or for more before studying in college. Now, I want to preface my remarks by saying I'm not making any sweeping generalizations about that trend, about going to Israel. Every kid is different, every family is different, every scenario is different. But let me share with you just one scenario that I dealt with. It was with a student of mine who I taught a number of years ago. She was a brilliant, brilliant girl. And she deeply desired to learn more before going to college. And her parents did not want to send her. Of course, I was dealing with a partially separate dynamic within a lot of the traditional Persian Jewish communities. They'd be willing to send their boys to yeshiva, but not necessarily their girls to seminary. That was another factor or piece of the conversation. But part of it was just justifying the enterprise in the first place. Why is there any value in going to Israel to study Torah before you go on to college? And we were talking back and forth, and I was explaining to him what I perceived the value to be. And at a certain point, he said to me, I just don't understand this. He said, I've paid so much money in yeshiva tuition for 12 years, for more, for since my daughter was in nursery, for 13, 14 years, she's been receiving a Jewish education. Why do I need to pay more money now for her to go learn in seminary for the year? That was the question that he posed to me. So I said to him, look, there are a lot of flaws with the yeshiva day school system. And I know that you've paid a lot of tuition money and maybe haven't seen the full fruits that you've paid for and the like. I'm not here to defend every single prat, every single element of our Jewish education. But let me just point out to you that by the very logic that you're suggesting, your daughter shouldn't learn in college either. You've paid a lot of money for secular education too. She's learned math and she's learned English and history and science and all of those things for 12 years. So by your logic, why in the world are you shelling out a ton of money to send her to Columbia for the next 4 years if you already paid for 12 years of education? And he was a little taken aback, and the answer, of course, to him was intuitive, because there's more to learn. I said, do you intend to imply or to suggest that there isn't more to learn in Torah? That in 12 years of elementary and secondary high school education, you've mastered all there is to master? You've learned all there is to learn? Intuitively, we of course realize that somebody who just graduates from high school and doesn't pursue any form of higher learning hasn't mastered all there is to master in secular learning, but somehow we have that impression that in Limudei Kodesh you've learned all there is to learn. And I think he was taken aback by it, and he was actually very receptive. In the end, she actually did end up studying for a year in Israel before going to Columbia, and she gained tremendously from the experience. But what I think it speaks to is a trend in our community, and I don't think it's even conscious. I think it's a subconscious trend that is pervasive in our community, whereby the following occurs. We insist on the highest standards in all areas of life. We are unwilling to compromise. We detest mediocrity. We want our kids going to the best colleges. We want them getting the best jobs and moving into the best homes and taking part in the best communities. We insist on the best in everything. That's just a feature of Jewish life in America. And it's served the Jewish community in America very well. That's part of our social upward mobility, is because we are insistent on the best. But for some strange reason, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to mitzvos, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we are totally complacent with mediocrity. We are perfectly fine knowing the basics, kind of going to shul, doing what we do, you know, asking the rabbi when we have a question. Again, those are all good things, don't get me wrong. But we're perfectly comfortable just settling at that and not pushing for something more and not pushing further and not insisting on the best when it comes to this area of our lives. And again, I think if you'd ask many of us, and this is something that we spoke about in the very Hakdama to the Mesiyas Hasharim, about the importance, the relative importance of our spiritual, moral lives in just our general value system, in our lives at large, I think most of us would say that it's at the pinnacle of our lives. That's the most important part of our lives. So why is it that in the most important area of our lives, we're perfectly complacent with mediocrity, whereas everywhere else we're insisting on being the absolute best that we can be? Why here are we perfectly okay with just being mediocre? We should insist on the best education for our children. We should insist on, and for ourselves, we should be able to, again, like whatever other things we're pursuing in our lives, we should insist on a kind of spiritual maximalism where we are pushing ourselves to be our absolute best in our spiritual lives as well. And I want to be very clear, like I don't say this as a critique of modern orthodoxy as a whole. Like I think that's a big misperception. I think a lot of times when young people become more frum and they notice problems in their own community, they use that as a rejection of their own community without realizing that every community internally has its flaws. And I'm saying this to you as proud a modern Orthodox Jew as they can come. I believe that every man has a responsibility to support his family, and I'm an extraordinarily vocal supporter of the State of Israel, and I'm willing to bet that I've consumed a lot more Russian literature than the average modern Orthodox Jew. So again, I'm as proud as they come. I'm Mr. Torah Umada. I even got the Torah Umada Award in Yeshiva University. But internally, we should be looking at our community and seeing where our flaws are and where we can improve. And to me, this is just so pervasive in our community. We insist on the best in so many areas, but for some reason, we have this blind spot where in Torah life, we're perfectly okay just being ordinary. And to me, that's largely what the Ramchal is communicating here. In our spiritual life, it's not about kavod in a superficial sense, again, in an olam hazeh sense of artificial social hierarchies. What he's expressing is, just as we insist on the best in so many areas of our lives, here too, we must be ambitious. We have to be spiritually ambitious. We have to be spiritually maximalist. We must insist on the best here too. And if we're capable of recognizing that we have that ambition in other areas of our lives, and we're also capable of recognizing that this area of our lives is most central and most important, then that ambition can and must carry over here too. So even in the moments where we're not on the highest level and we're not motivated by doing what's right just lishma, just because it's right, we should recognize that that impulse towards being the best that we can be has to motivate us here as well and should inspire us to be maximalists in our spiritual and moral lives.